Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. And what a day, what a day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I tell you, if this day has not been a joyful day for you, then you probably need to go back to the foot of the cross or get on your knees and just praise Him and worship Him, and maybe just get you a good praise and worship song on that you can just glorify Him and dance and sing hallelujah to Him. I tell you, this day is a beautiful day, and I pray that your day will or is or has already begun, and that it has been a beautiful day in the Lord for you. Well, we are going to have a mighty good time today. We have got a beautiful new series launching today. And I've got a special guest on the broadcast today in studio with me. And I tell you, it is going to blow you away. So I encourage you to come ready, willing, and able to the banquet table of grace with your Bible, with your paper and pencil, ready to take some good notes and receive sweet nuggets that the Word of God has for you, that you would cleave to, latch on to, and be willing to share with somebody who does not know Jesus Christ. And I tell you, I hope you're hungry and thirsty for the Word of God, because this brother in Christ, a steward of God's Word, God has filled him with so much manna, and I say food from heaven by way of the Holy Spirit to fill your cup, if you will. So I want us to just have a listening ear. And again, today is a new series, and the name of this series, the title of this series, is Nothing But the Blood. And this is series one by Pastor Acra Turner. I want you to just kind of listen to this. This is some food for thought. And listen to it this way. Has human blood been a wonder to you? How it flows, the color, the cells, whether white or red, or how beneficial it is for others. You may have wondered how a blood transfusion helps others, if not yourself. You may have wondered what blood looks like under a microscope enhanced, or the sight of blood may cause you to become squirmish. Whatever the case may be, Pastor Acra Turner will walk through the Bible from the beginning, where it started, in this series, Nothing But the Blood. He will take you on a journey focusing on the blood of Christ from the garden to the cross. So this brings us to the very beginning of this series, Pastor Acra Turner. And I just want him to give us a little thumbnail sketch of himself and how ministry has delighted his soul and where ministry brings him today. And we will just move right into our lesson titled Nothing But the Blood. Pastor Turner, if you could introduce yourself and bless the listeners with a little bit about yourself, and so we can just get right to our lesson. I am very excited about this.
Well, thank you, Sister Smith. Greetings to you in the name of the Lord, hoping that you will lend an ear to the sweet word of the gospel. My name is Pastor Acra or you can call me Pastor Turner, whatever you want to call me. Just don't call me Late to Eat. I am in Kemp, Oklahoma right now. I've just retired from pastoring First Baptist Church of Eureka Springs, Arkansas. And I was a manager at the Holy Land at the Great Passion Play. You get a chance to go there, you will love it. It's like walking through the Holy Land, except it's not as expensive. That's in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. But it is my great honor and privilege to share with you the Word of God today. Nothing but the blood. Have any, Sister Smith, have you? Do you remember in good old songs when we were growing up? What can wash away my sins?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And then I always think about there is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. And there's so many songs about the blood. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? And then I remember when I was a kid and the old sisters used to sing their songs like, I know it was the blood, I know it was the blood for me. And my voice not that good, but you got the message. And so we would like to talk about the blood. What is that all about? You know, you always hearing about the blood of Jesus that can save, the blood that can wash your sins away. What is that all about? And right now, we'd like to just open up this lesson about kind of where it all started. Right now, we're going to start with Joseph. And we want to encourage you just to read from Genesis chapter 39 all the way to Exodus chapter 1 about this story. But anyway, Joseph, anytime we're talking about Joseph in the Bible, it's in Genesis, start with chapter 39. I usually like to think about Joseph as the three P's. The three P's are Joseph was thrown into the pit. Joseph was then put into prison. And then Joseph ended up in the palace. He was thrown in a pit by his jealous brothers. He told his brother all about a dream that he had. And after he told his brother about the dream he had, they were so jealous that they got together, and they was going to kill him. But one of the brothers talked him into just throwing him in a pit and selling him. And so they threw him in a pit. And then he was brought by some nomads, and he ended up eventually working for someone. And he was accused of rape, and they ended up putting him in prison. So that's the second P. And because of the talents that God gave him of being able to interpret dreams, he ended up in the palace. A famine was going on at that time. And he was able to move his whole family, his father moved his whole family to Egypt. And that's how they end up in Egypt. After a while, after a time, after Joseph had died, the king, who did not know much about Joseph, became fearful of the Israelites, Joseph's family. So we're going to read Exodus chapter 1, verse 8. Sister Smith, could you read that for us? Exodus chapter 1, verses 8 through 11.
Sure. And it reads this way, Exodus chapter 1, verse 8. And I'll be reading this in the NIV or New International Version. Then a new king who did not know about Joseph came to power in Egypt. Look, he said to his people, the Israelites have become much too numerous for us. Verse 10, come. We must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous, and if war breaks out, will join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country. Verse 11. So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, and they built Pithom and Ramses as store cities for Pharaoh.
Thank you. So the children of Israel, all of a sudden now they become slaves, and they were, it's been argued how long they were in slavery. Some people believe that the scripture said that they were in Egypt for 430 years. Now, I don't know how many, no one knows exactly how many years there was of slavery that they was enforced to endure. But they suffered, they cried out to God, and God heard their prayers. So God's decided to send a deliverer in the way of Moses. Now, the unique thing about Moses, like many of us know, and if you, like say, if you read Genesis 39 through Exodus 1 and Exodus, you'll see that the devil, anytime God sent a deliverer, the devil liked to try to kill the deliverer as a baby before we get started. Think about this. When Jesus Christ was born, they sought to kill all the babies two and under to keep the Savior from coming. Well, they did the same thing for Moses. The enemy actually tried to kill the Savior that God was sending to deliver his people from bondage. And it was in Moses. So, but God is so wonderful, so unique. His plans are so awesome that Moses eventually ended up getting educated by the very, very enemies that sought to kill him. And so God was able to use Moses when the time came. And Moses goes to God sent Moses to Pharaoh to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh basically laughed at him. He's the big boss. He's running the show. And he looked at Moses, a little old Hebrew there, and refused to let God's people go. Now, any time that we refuse to do what God says, that's disobedience, which is a real good definition for sin. Disobedience to God. So the wages, the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. So God gave Egypt 10 plagues. Now, the first plague was he turned all the water into blood in Egypt, and that's in Exodus 7, chapter 4, verse 14, chapter 25. Exodus 7, verse 14 through 25, where God turned the blood into water. And then later on, he loaded the land with frogs. That's Exodus 8, 1 through 15, where he loaded the land with frogs. Exodus 8, 1 through 15. The third plague that God gave him was flies all over, lights all over the place. Now, I know my wife works in the school system. She always has to check the kids for lights in their hair. So imagine lights all over the land, all over the people's skin, all over, all in their hair. Pharaoh still refused to let the people go. And so God sent flies all over the land, just irritating. Okay, you ever try to swap one fly? Imagine, hundreds of thousands of flies all over you. Okay, that didn't work. Pharaoh still, disobeyed God. Then disease on the livestock. That's Exodus chapter 9, verse 1 through 7. After that, unhealable boils, Exodus 9:8-12. And just imagine boils that's unhealable, Exodus 9:8-12. And then he rained down hails and fire, Exodus 9:13-35. And then locusts all over the land, Exodus 10:1-20. And then Pharaoh still refused to let the children of Israel go. So God brought darkness for 3 days. That was not enough. And so that leads us to the 10th plague. As I said, the wages of sin is death. So God brought death to all the firstborns of Egyptians' firstborn. That's Exodus 12:22-32. Now, this was a very, very unique way that God handled this. Sister Smith, if you would read Exodus 12:22-32, I would appreciate that.
And that's 12:22-32.
Exodus chapter 12, verse 22-32.
And it reads this way, 22. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. Not one of you shall go out the door of his house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. 24. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you, as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then you tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshiped. Verse 28, the Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead. During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, up, leave my people. You and the Israelites, go. Without the Lord, you and the Israelites, go. Worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds as you have said, and go. And also bless me. The Egyptians urged the people to hurry and leave the country, for otherwise, they said, we will all die. Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. So, you know, I tell you what, it's very dangerous when you don't obey God. And so if you can picture this, the Israelites had to take the blood and put it on a lintel and the doorpost, both sides of the doorpost. And what would happen is that the death angel will be coming to take the life of the firstborn. If the blood was not on the doorpost, the death angel took the life of the firstborn. If the death angel saw the blood on the doorpost, he would pass over the house, going to the next house, and that's why it is now called the Passover house, or the Passover celebration, the Passover meal. And so now, the very, very unique thing, this way it get kind of catchy. Even though the firstborn was saved at that house, a death still had to take place. Let me say that again. Even though the firstborn at a particular house that had the blood over the doorpost, even though that particular firstborn was saved, a death still had to take place. What is the death? The blood of the lamb that was used, that was slaughtered, that lamb, blood over the doorpost and lintel, the death had to take place, was the lamb. Okay, so what do we have here? Now, where did that come from? Where do we get that from? Well, we have to go all the way back to Genesis, the first chapter, where God tells Adam and Eve, or actually tell Adam, do not eat from the tree of knowledge. And so Adam and Eve, they disobey God. In fact, God says, if you eat from that particular tree, you will surely die. In fact, that's Genesis 2nd chapter, verse 15 through 17. Genesis, the 2nd chapter, verses 15 through 17. And God says that, Sister Smith, I didn't give you that verse, but do you have that?
Genesis 2.
Chapter 2, verse 15 through 17.
Yes. And it reads this way. Verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and care for it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die.
Amen. Now, God go looking for Adam and Eve. And may I interject something? Sister Smith, this is very, very unique. Would you read verse 21, please?
Genesis 2, verse 21.
Yes, ma'am.
And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof.
Now, yes. Now, let me put this together. What I you know, what the Holy Spirit is showing me. So many times we always talk about how Eve misled Adam. And, you know, why a woman can't do this, and a woman can't do this because she was deceived by the devil. And you know what, though? My Bible tells me in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, God told Adam that, you know, he shouldn't eat off that tree. Later on, in verse 21, Eve was created. So Eve was not even created at the time that God told Adam not to eat off the tree. Now, Adam got to pass the news down to Eve, and it obviously she knew because she told, you know, she mentioned it to the devil that she was not to eat off that tree. But, you know, for us to keep on blaming woman when it was man responsibility, because God told Adam directly not to eat off the tree. So anyway, I just threw that in to help some of the women out, some of the women preachers. But anyway, so God go looking for Adam and Eve. Where are you? And they answer, we are hiding. Well, why are you hiding? We're naked. God says, I told you you was naked. And you know what? God always asks the questions he already know the answer to. All right. Right then, God can kill them. In fact, you know, something has to die because God says, if you eat off this tree, you will surely die. Something has to die. And so what did God do? Genesis 3, verse 21. Sister Smith, you want to go over to that?
Mm-hmm. Also, for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them.
Okay. So what we have to, what we're witnessing here is the first blood sacrifice. God took that animal, and he took that animal, and he clothed them. What's that first sin that they recognize? Hey, that they got from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, is that they recognized they was naked. And God clothed them. And so I think that's what we get, you know, when we said the blood of Jesus Christ covers sin. It covered their nakedness, you know. It covers our sin. And so I get excited when I think about that. You know, you go all the way back to Adam and Eve, and we recognize, you know, that, you know, a sacrifice was made in Genesis. A blood sacrifice is made in Genesis. A blood sacrifice is also made at the Passover house. So what's the important thing about blood? What is so unique about blood? Why is blood so important? Why didn't God just use a raspberry Kool-Aid or Hunt's tomato ketchup? Why blood? In Genesis 9, verse 4, we see the importance of blood. Sis, can you read Genesis 9, 4?
Genesis 9, verse 4, read this way. But you must not eat meat that has its lifeblood still in it.
And that's the key thing. Lifeblood. Now let's clear that up with Leviticus 17:11. Lifeblood. I like that. Lifeblood. life, blood. Leviticus 17:11, Sister Smith, when you get there.
And it reads this way.
Life.
Leviticus 17:11. For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life.
Okay, so life is in the blood. You know, so many times, church people and us religious people, we got a way of saying things, you know, and making statements that we really, really don't truly understand the real meaning. We got the pretty good idea, but we really, really don't get the meaning of life in the blood. We say, life is in the blood. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, you know. And we got our saying, in Christ, for Christ, you know. But don't really understand what it means to be in Christ, you know. And so that's the same way with life in the blood. Do we understand what that really, really means? Life in the blood. It's a scientific term. The first time I heard it, I was in the eighth grade. It's a scientific term called laminin, L-A-M-I-N-I-N, laminin, L-A-M-I-N-I-N. Laminin is the basic protein in your blood. Now, the unique thing about laminin is that when you look at it, laminin look exactly, in fact, it is. It's a cross. That particular protein is in the shape of a cross. Now, laminin is the protein, the enzyme that holds the blood together. Now, it's very, very unique. It looks like, if you're looking at it under a microscope, it's like a bunch of crosses holding hands. And as the crosses are holding hands, food particles and oxygen cells kill against the arms. They release hands. They open up. They allow the food particles and the oxygen cells to enter in, and they protect them. And they the laminin protein cells. They hold them together, and they deliver them throughout the blood system where your body needs food, where your body needs oxygen. They take it to these places through your body that need food and oxygen. Life is in the blood. The crosses deliver the life, you know, the supplements that the body needs in order to live. Life is in the blood. You have trillions of microscopic crosses flowing through the blood system, keeping you alive. Isn't that unique as you picture the blood flowing through your system? That's why when you're running and you twist an ankle and your ankle swells and the blood cannot travel through your system. It cannot travel through your system because of the swelling. So the first thing you do is you get ice. Any doctor, any athlete know that the first thing you're going to do is you get ice. You got to get the swelling down for the blood to flow. It's healing in the blood. It's deliverance in the blood. But the fluid can, the blood has to flow. And like that song said, it reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, and what? It will never, ever lose its power. Amen. What do you think about that, Sister Smith?
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I tell you, Brother Turner, this has been such an enjoyment from the very moment you started in this series, Nothing But the Blood. I can't write or take notes on these rich nuggets fast enough. In between reading the scripture and making notes what the Holy Spirit is unctioning me to do and these sweet little rich nuggets that I hold on to, I tell you, it is a beautiful spiritual ride. And I just pray, brothers and sisters, that you are having a ride of your lifetime in this teaching series, Nothing But the Blood. And just to hear Brother Turner break this down to the very, very point to where we understand what the importance of the blood that runs through our veins does for our body. All I could say is that the blood is the deliverer. And I pray, brothers and sisters in Christ, that you have seen this to be so. The blood is the deliverer. And I tell you, whether it's from a scientific perspective or from a spiritual perspective, the blood is the deliverer. Amen.
Amen. Now, our next series, the next section of the series, we are going to be talking about the blood in the tabernacle. Where do the bloods fit in the tabernacle? That was basically the first church. The Hebrew first church was at the tabernacle. And we're going to be talking about the symbolism and the structures of the tabernacle and where the blood fit in at the tabernacle. And while we're talking about that, you know, do you know the blood today? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you want to Christ to make a difference in your life today, a difference in your blood? You know what? When a person is very, very sick and he has bad blood, not enough blood, they give him what you call a blood transfusion. Well, we want to give you the opportunity to have a spiritual blood transfusion. You know what? Before you can accomplish anything physical, it has to happen in the spirit first. And so we want to give you the opportunity to allow Jesus to come into your heart to give you a blood transfusion. Or sometimes, you know, you're a little tired and you need a little boost. And you say, God, I can do so much better. And you would like to make a rededication of your life, you know, with an extra boost. You know, sometimes some people use that energy drink, you know, for extra boost. But you know what? It can't boost your energy drink, can't boost your spirit. Only Jesus can. The blood of Jesus can do that. And so we want to give you the opportunity right now to, and I'm going to pray right now that if you would like this new spiritual blood transfusion that only you can get through Jesus Christ, we're going to pray right now. Dear Lord, we just come to you, Father, thanking you for another day. Father, we realize that it was not the alarm clock that woke us up this morning, but it was your ever-loving grace. And we know the definition of grace is you didn't have to do it, but you did it anyway. And, Father, if there's anyone that's listening to our voice today, Father, would like a new transfusion, would like new blood, Father, that would create a new life, Father, a new form of living water, Father. Right now, Father, all they have to do, Father, is first of all, it's important for us to know that we're sinners. And Father, that Christ died on the cross for the sinner, Father, and in no way that he will ever turn you out. That he died on the cross, that that we may have an equal life to that new tree of life, Father, for that new influx of new blood, Father, and that he rose from the dead, Father, and he's sitting at the right hand making intercessions for us. All you have to do is just ask Jesus to come into your life. Jesus, just say it right now, Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, I want that new blood. Or Jesus, I need a boost of new blood. And Father, and he in no way Christ would turn you away, Father. He would no longer, you know, remember your sins. He would set your sins. He would not remember your sins as far as the east is from the west. And so right now, just say, Jesus, come into my life, Father. And I know without a doubt, Father, in your word, you are God that cannot lie. You will forgive me for my sins, and you will give me the new blood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sister Smith.
Amen. 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 That was such a blessing. And I just pray, brothers and sisters, that you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you will seek out a Bible-teaching church to where you can become baptized by submersion of water, that you would get up singing, Hallelujah, I am a new Christ follower, and you are super excited.
Amen.
Go and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. And I pray that you find a good Bible-teaching church in addition to a Sunday school class, that you would be discipled, that you can grow and go in grace. And also connect with a small home group that you can be replenished and refreshing, and that the word of God would become solid and a solid foundation for your soul, that you would be the earthen vessel that God wants to use. Now, he's got a purpose and a plan for you, brother and sister, so don't get it. Misunderstood. Don't let the enemy try to steal from you what the Lord has for you. But he does have a purpose and a plan, and he's had it for you from the conception of you being in the womb of your mother. But you definitely are a new creature in Christ Jesus, and the angels are rejoicing that you have accepted Jesus, and we
Amen.
Just believe it by
Amen.
Faith. We believe it by
Amen.
Faith that you will be in the body of Christ as you grow and go in grace, and that he would use you to lead somebody to the ark of salvation. And we know that to be Jesus Christ. And we just listen to Pastor Turner tell us about who and what Jesus was in the beginning. He was there in the garden. And I tell you, his blood from the very beginning of time, as Pastor brought us through these rich nuggets concerning Egypt and Joseph, and concerning the slavery and the bondage and the suffering, and even concerning Moses and how they tried to get rid of the baby boys. And I tell you, with him being a faithful witness to his Hebrew heritage, talking about Moses now, that he had a purpose and a plan, talking about God's purpose and plan for that baby, that boy, Moses, and what he did for the Israelites and how he used him to lead them out of bondage, out of slavery, just as Pastor has expressed and explained and showed us in Scripture. In these rich, and I hope that you took note of that you would see the hand of God moving and the shedding of blood being a purpose and a plan for the people. And that is the beauty of
Amen.
God and how he allows us to see his hand, his movement, his love, and his grace in spite of a sin-sick world. Pastor Turner, I tell you, this has been good. This has been good. But what I wanted to do, since we have a little bit more time to revisit some of the notes that I wrote, and brothers and sisters, I hope you've written them down too, but to please come back or tune in to the broadcast on next week. We are going to continue in this beautiful series, Nothing But the Blood, and that's nothing but the blood. And, of course, that's the blood of Jesus Christ. And one of the points that I made, that I saw in the lesson today, as we read through the scriptures, and some things stood out really strong to me, and that was in Leviticus, as you really unpack that verse 11, in chapter 17, verse 11. And and I'm going to read it again, and it says, "For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life." And listen to what it says in the New Living Translation, for those who may have different translations. And I love for us to have various study materials. And if you don't, get yourself a parallel Bible that gives you different translations. And I just encourage it so that you can deepen your walk with through the Word of God, that it would build you up in knowledge and understanding of God's Word through the Holy Spirit. So listen to what this same verse in the New Living Translation, and it says, and it reads this way: "For the life of a creature is in its blood. I have given you the blood so you can make atonement for your sin. It is the blood, representing life, that brings you atonement." Represents life. It is the blood that represents life, that brings you atonement. And Pastor, Brother Turner, you really unpacked that, and especially when you broke it down with the laminin and the basic protein cells in our blood in the shape of the cross. Now, that was very impactful to me, and it just opened up a wow factor. Wow, our blood, how God so designed us to still show himself in us through the blood, the human blood. And I just thought that was so fascinating.
Sister Smith, that gave us a whole another look at the verse, "We are so fearfully and wonderfully made."
Amen. And brothers and sisters, I just pray, we just pray that you believe by faith that God made you beautifully, fearfully, wonderfully made. He thought about us before the foundations of the earth. And don't underestimate the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. It is in the blood. And we will read more and study more about this in the next series, in part two, I believe. Correct, Brother Turner?
Yes, we will.
And those hot points will be what for the note takers. Today we covered nothing but the blood as the title, but point one was where it started, just for the note takers out there. And I pray that you develop a life of taking notes concerning the Word of God for your private study time. And point one was where it started. And within that particular point, Brother Turner talked about the Israelites in Egypt, Joseph, the three P's, which was the pit, prison, and the palace. And then he talked about the slavery that they've been in for 430 years, so far as we know, not to be exact, but around about 430 years, they suffered and cried out to God. And then he talked about Moses being God's plan. And we know the story. And if you don't know it, you read it. And how Moses was God's purpose and plan for the Israelites to be set free out of bondage in Egypt from the hand of Pharaoh. And then, point two, within that, where it started, were the plagues. So if you would make note of the plagues, God sends Moses. I'm sorry, it was Joseph, the three P's, slavery, Exodus 1, verses 8 through 11. And then the next point was Moses, God's plan. And then we went over the Passover, which was point B, the Passover house. God sends Moses, the plagues, firstborn death. Pastor Turner talked about that in Exodus 12, 22 through 32. And B, being death necessary. And A, Adam and Eve in the garden. And then C was why blood with a question mark. Why blood? And Brother Turner talked about life in the blood, and that was my aha moment, my wow moment in Leviticus 17:11, and then the laminin, wow. And so the laminin being basic protein cells in our body, something that we would need to look at and just kind of dig our heels in through resources out there that will help us better understand. But I tell you, you listen to Pastor Turner break this down, it would just do a, you would do a 360-degree turnaround to make you want to study. So I really pray that we pray that you would take note of these points and be ready for next week when he brings us part two of this teaching series, Nothing But the Blood. And we know that to be Jesus Christ's blood. So, Pastor Turner, do you have any last remarks concerning the lesson? I know you kind of gave us a little hint on what we'll be expecting on next week, but before time gets away from us, I just wanted to make sure that they fully understood and had note of what you just unpacked today, just beautifully.
Well, you were talking about the laminin, and isn't it strange, you know, well, it isn't, nothing is strange with God, you know, but, you know, Jesus is now the Lamb of God. And the base word for laminin is lamb. So God has, you know, and next week, especially when we see what takes over in the tabernacle. And I've been teaching this for some time now out at the Great Passion Plate. And if you like to actually see a tabernacle or see a Passover house, to actually, you know, they have actually replicas of the tabernacle and the Passover house. In fact, it is now the only full-size tabernacle house in the world. They had one in Israel a couple of years ago, and they started tearing it down because they are planning to put up their own, rebuild their own tabernacle, but it won't be in the place where God told them to build it anyway. So that's kind of, you know, they're going to start having sacrifice again, which is kind of, you know, unusual too, being that God has already sent his brother, his son Jesus, to die for everybody's sins, that Lamb of God. And so anyway, we're going to go through the, we're going to just tear the tabernacle down next, and we're going to see the symbolism, the Hebrew symbolism, because we totally cannot understand the New Testament if we don't understand what's going on in the Old Testament. Or we can't really understand what's truly going on in the Old Testament if we don't understand the Hebrew customs and traditions of that time. So anyway, I am excited as we go into the tabernacle, and especially recognize Jesus in that tabernacle and understand how the Old Testament and New Testament is brought together through the tabernacle, how Christ is seen both in the Old and the New, and why it's so important that we're still talking about the tabernacle today. But Jesus is all throughout the tabernacle, and it's just shared next time. Ms. Smith?
Yes, amen. So that sounds such like a wonderful delight that's pleasing to the soul. I tell you, it quenches my appetite to hear about that and come ready to see how that is laid out before us and how the Lord uses you to do that. So I pray, brothers and sisters, as you spent time with us on this broadcast today, that you always remember that the grass wither and the flowers, they fade away. But never, ever forget that the Word of God will remain forever and ever and ever. And I just want to thank you for being a faithful listener to this broadcast, Mission from the Heart. And I pray that you continue to pray for us as a ministry, that we continue to lay out the Word of God just as simple as it can be, and that you would share this broadcast with others, especially in your circle of influence. But always remember that what you do for Christ will last. That
Amen.
Someday you will be a beautiful earthen vessel for God to use and go in grace to all the ends of the earth. Pastor Turner, I thank you for being a faithful steward of God's word. I thank you again for being on this broadcast, Mission from the Heart. And I tell you, this is our first go-round, but it won't be our last. And
Amen.
It was just a struggle for me to keep my hands from flying up and down in the air, just praising the Lord as he used you so richly today on the broadcast and to lay out his word. But we know him to be a God who is always on time, who is always perfect in his will, and who always delights the soul of his children. And I just want to thank you. So, again, this brings us to the end of another broadcast, but we will have our part two to this teaching series, Nothing But the Blood. And we pray and hope that you will be with us again as we continue to grow and go in grace. It is our prayer that you continue to stay faithful to the Father and continue to keep going to church and keep the Word of God tattooed in the bosom of your heart is our prayer. And we pray this in the beautiful name of Jesus as we bring this particular broadcast to a close. So thank you, faithful listeners, and we will be with you again on next week. God bless.